Hi there, a very happy new year and a very warm welcome to the Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. I'm Bruce Millington, and over the course of the next half an hour or so, in the company of Robbie Wilders and David Jennings, we'll be taking you through eight races on ITV on Saturday from Sandown and Wincanton. There's a really big grade one in Ireland on Sunday, and we'll get all the rest of the weekend's best bets. So grab a pen and paper and get scribbling down these words of wisdom. We'll start with 1:15 at Sandown on Saturday. The Read Nicky Henderson's Unibet blog. Handicap chase over 2 miles and four furlongs. Eight runners. The ground is soft. We are expecting rain. I looked at the forecast this morning. It's going to bucket down, so it might end up being heavy. So well worth keeping an eye on the Racing Post app or racingpost.com for all the latest going changes as the day progresses. Here's how the market looks on the 1:15 at Sandown. 2-1 favourite is Gemirande. That was pathetic, but hopefully you get the gist of it. 7-2 PJB, 13-2 Scipion, 15-2 Certainly Red, and 9-1 Bar. And David Jennings, you can go first. How are you, my friend? All good?
I'm very good, Bruce. Yeah, very good. Looking forward to the year.
Are you confident about Saturday?
Yeah, it's funny. I always find these two Saturdays, this Saturday and next Saturday, a bit weird because you've got like incredible racing all over Christmas, and then it's just not quite as good for these couple of weeks before we kick into the Dublin Racing Festival. But it's actually surprisingly good. Like last year, we had a long odds on favourite in Constitution Hill for the main race, but here we have, really competitive Tolworth. So I'm looking forward to the day.
Okay, we'll kick us off with the winner in the 1:15.
I fancy one at a bit of a price here, Bruce. Now, he's a little bit of an enigma, but I thought 11-1 about high stakes was probably too big of a price. It's a second run after Windup. I actually thought he was going to be a smashing horse early on in his career. I remember talking to Warren Greatrex about him at the HWPA Awards a few years ago, and he thought he was his kind of best young horse coming through. It hasn't really materialised that way, and he's a 9-year-old now. But I thought there was loads to like about his performance last time at Catterick. There was 3-mile-1. He made one absolutely desperate mistake. And he actually jumped to his right as well. So I think going right-handed is going to suit him. But I just love the way he kept at it and he fought back. And when he meets one right, he's a really quick and slick jumper. He's running off a mark of 123 here. Like, this is a horse I thought might make, 104.5, maybe 145, 150 type horse over hurdles. It didn't work out that way. I'm still going to keep the fade, Bruce. I think 123, Tom Scudamore is booked. I think high stakes is a big player here at 11-1.
Thank you, DJ. Robbie, have you set and broken any New Year's resolutions yet?
Not yet. I don't really do them, to be honest, Bruce. But I've got
does
one.
Does anyone, actually? I'm not sure anyone does, really.
Not
do
really.
You might say, I might drink less or do a bit of exercise. But, this sort of thing of I'm going to take up bridge or anything like that. Does anyone actually do all that?
I don't know. I think anything where you try and make a positive change in your life is quite a good thing. I've got a little one just to be slightly nicer to people.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That won't last.
Right, yeah. Well, be nice to punters by giving them the winner of the 1:15 at Sandown then, Robbie.
Yeah, go on. Then let's have a bit of Skippy on, I think. Similar to DJ's selection, high stakes, he was quite highly tried earlier in his career. He ran the grade two and just his second start for Tom Lacey. He actually ran really well there. He was third to Staghorn on soft ground. He's not encountered soft ground since then. But, I thought his chasing debut was absolutely fine. He tops to last time. I mean, he's gone down £2 for it, but the winner has followed up quite easily since. The ground's much slower. I mean, I did think he was going to be quite a bit better than the mark of 129. And, there should be loads more to come. So I thought that he'd be, like, sort of close to favouritism, but he's about 13-2, so that'll do me.
Okay, the 1:50 at Sandown is the Unibet Horse Racing Betting Operator of the Year handicap chase over just short of 2 miles. We've got seven runners and it's very competitive in terms of betting. 11-4 joint favourites as things stand are Corrigine Rock and Grey Diamond and then Frero Bamboo at 7-2. We've got 15-2 the last day, 10-1 Dreams of Hope, Dreams of Home even, and 16-1 the other two. Robbie, we'll stick with you for this one. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Frero Bamboo here, Bruce. Adam Down is a bit of a mud lover, but he's not had those conditions this season. He still run pretty well in two pretty good handicaps at Ascot, the first occasion, second to Time White. And then he's run a slightly worse race behind Boot Hill, again at Ascot. But Boot Hill's obviously cranked the form by winning the grade two since. He's down a couple of pounds, but I mean, he's finished third in the Grand Annual off £1 higher on heavy last season. He's back on a real testing service, that's going to suit. And he should be open to a little bit more improvement as an eight-year-old. So I think, yeah, he's the one to beat.
Frero Bamboo for Robbie. David Jennings, who's your selection going to be?
Yeah, I'm a Frero Bamboo man as well. I think the ground is key. Like last time at Ascot, it was proper good ground. I'd say that was a decent handicap as well. Like Booth Hill obviously went on to finish second to John Bond. So Scottish is a very good horse recently purchased. And the third horse before Midnight has loads of ability too. Time White was fifth. Third Time Lucky was sixth too. I'd kind of have him in the back of my mind for a Grand Annual. So I think Frero Bamboo is well handicapped here. He's been dropped £2 to American 140. I think the ground is key. I think the more cut in the ground, the better. Like, it was bottomless when he was third in the Grand Annual to Global Citizen. That was a cracking run. It really was. A bizarre run, and he still made a mistake at the last and still ended up finishing third. I think he's well handicapped. I can think the conditions of this race are going to suit. And like Robbie, I'd be disappointed if Frero Bamboo doesn't win.
Two tips for Frero Bamboo in the 150. We move on now to the 225. The big race of the day, the Unibet Tolworth Novices Hurdle. Grade one over 2 miles, 8 runners. Let's hope they all stand the ground so we get some each way action. Although obviously in this day and age, it's well worth checking out. If you go on the best odds button on racingpost.com, sometimes when you go down to 7 runs, you can still find bookmakers offering 3 places. So keep an eye on that in case we do get a defector. But as things stand, authorised speed for the Gary and Jamie Moore is the 2-1 favourite. Tamuris is 5-2, and then we've got 7-2 the Irish Raider Arctic Bressel, 12-1 Lastro Boy, 16-1 Namin Lion, and 25 Bar. I don't think we've got Constitution Hill in here, David Jennings, but do we have a decent bet?
I think we've got one better than Constitution Hill, Bruce.
Sorry?
That was a joke. Sorry, that was a joke. I thought I might get a kind of a reaction.
And I fell
wow,
for it.
I was about to tear into you there.
Yeah, I was like, what? It's a funny race. I can make cases for plenty of them. I think Authorized Speed will probably win. I think he's, ability-wise, he's probably got the most ability in the race. And he comes into the race on the back of two pretty impressive performances at Linkfield and Sandown. His bump performance good. He was fifth at Fast Out Vega, Cheltenham. My sidekick and up in the ante, Johnny Deneen, is absolutely mad about him and has been for months. So I think he'd probably win. I do like Lastro Boy as a horse. I thought, like, Evan Williams doesn't win too many bumpers. And this horse did remarkably well to beat Tamuris in a fast last bumper.
When you say you like him as a horse, what don't you like him as?
Yeah, do you know what that's like, actually? I did something there that I hate when people do, right? I said I like him as a horse when it's obvious. One of my hates in life, right, is when you're watching golf and somebody sticks it to the pin and then Butch Harmon or somebody goes, "What a great golf shot." Like, why not just say
Paul Merson always does that in football. He always describes a match as a football match every time. Just no need. Yeah.
Great football match. No, I suppose so. But I mean, I think liking a horse as for being a horse probably takes it to a new level. But anyway, expand on why you like him so much.
My point was, and the reason I said I like him as a horse, but I'm not quite sure whether I like him for this race. I thought he did remarkably well to win that bumper of Fast Last. And even last time when he returned to Fast Last, he was reasonably weak in the mark. And he went off favourite in the end, but there was kind of flip-flopping between himself and in Edit Star, who has since been beaten. But I thought he was really impressive. I thought he won very convincingly. I just can't convince myself that he's good enough to win a race like this, but I do think he's very good. I think Authorised Speed will probably win, but I'm not absolutely mad at him, but I do think he'll probably win, Bruce.
Is Johnny Dunning all in on him in the column tomorrow?
Oh, Bruce, the column tomorrow is worth a read. He is always worth a read.
As
he say himself, I have the garage, the house, the neighbour's garage on him. He's very, very sweet on Authorised Speed, especially now that Lucia is out.
Brilliant. I do love Johnny Dunning. You can catch his new column every Saturday in the Racing Post. And, of course, Upping the Ante with DJ and Johnny is a must watch. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday it comes out?
Tuesday, 6
Tuesday.
O'clock.
Brilliant stuff. Okay. Robbie Wilders, who I very much like as a human. What do you fancy?
Cheers, mate. I like you as well. I don't know. I won't be with Deneen. I crunched some numbers for the champion bumper. That's actually worked out really badly. I know All For Our Speed and Fast Al Vega are both unbeaten. But if you take out those horses, The horses that have ran have only won, they've only won five times in 31 defeats. That's quite a lot. And nine of them have been beaten favourites. It's not really working out that great. And I know Authorised Speed won the same novice hurdle that Constitution Hill did and Fiddle on the Roof did before winning the Tolworth, but he actually ran an RPR about 16 to 18 pounds worse. I don't know if he's that good. He might not need to be that special to win this, but I thought there was a couple of inch of runners at bigger prices. The one I came down was Nemi and Lion for Kerry Lee. You know, you're going to need to stay pretty well in these conditions, and this horse finished second in a heavy ground Group 2 at Longchamp, the pre-Chardonnay a few years ago for Andre Fobb. He's got a lot of experience on the flat. He's done well in hurdles so far. He bumped into a really good horse, I think, in Hollenbeck at Haydock last time, trying to give him £5. Still ran pretty well in second. I thought he'd be a little bit shorter. You know he's going to like the ground, and he's experienced. Quite a few of these are inexperienced, and I could see them sort of struggling in the test. So about 16 to 1, Nemi and Lion is the one for me.
Robbie, true or false, there are two big lays for Cheltenham at this stage. Facile yeah. Vega and Galopin de Champ.
True. I think I'd rather be with Galopin than Facile, I think.
Wait, what? Just like in a word or two words, depending on many names the horse
I'll
has.
Give you one word. Hi.
Give me a horse Hi. That will beat. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the thing that won the first race at Kempton on St. Stephen's Day.
What, yeah, what to beat who? Edition. Facile?
Rare edition, yeah. Have a chance.
No, high definition.
Jesus.
What? Why not? What?
Couldn't have him on my mind, though.
He used to be favourite for the Derby. That's not a bad little race. We move on.
Yeah, go on. Let's move on.
Okay, 3 o'clock at Sandown. I'm really looking forward to this one. One of my favourites of January is the Veterans. It's the Unibet Veterans Handicap Chase. Over 3 miles, 51 grand to the winner, 18 grand servants, 22 fences, and a wide open look to the betting prime venture who won it last year. Is 11-2 favourite with Ramses de Tay. You can get 6 places if you shop around, by the way. Just click on, like I say, that best odds button on the racingpost.com cards and all will be revealed. Snow Leopardess is 7-1, and then it's 17-2 San Xavier. 9-1 Coustar Civilar, 12-1 Ballyandy and Cross Park, and 16 Bar. And Robbie, you're going first.
Yeah, I'll go first on this one, mate. I really like Coustar Civola. Now, he is really, really well handicapped off 127. I mean, he was winning at Cheltenham Festivals a few years ago.
You don't need to tell me about that. One of the great moments there. Kiehl's have been going on about Coustar Civola since about November, and when he won, it was absolutely glorious.
Cool, yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. But we haven't seen too much of him sort of since the days he was with Nick Williams and running at Cheltenham every festival. He returned off 595 days off of Venetia Williams on his first start for the stable at Haydock in November. That was the qualifying for this. It just sort of reeks of a long-term target. He's down to 127, career low mark by some way. And, I mean, you go for his form, he does like a bit of soft ground. His two runs at Sandown as well. I like to look at RPRs, as you know. He's run to RPRs of 142 and 141 at Sandown. He's only off 127. But I think he's definitely going to be in the shake-up for sure. Charlie Deutsch has picked him over Shambard, the other Williams horse, who obviously won the Kim Muir. So I think there's absolutely loads to like, and I think he's got to be in the frame, really. But it is a cracking race.
It is. It's going to take something very compelling from DJ to get me off Coustar Civilar. Away you go, DJ.
Yeah, I'd probably be unsuccessful there, Bruce. I fancy Sir Ivan. I think 20-1 is much too big. He's a 13-year-old, which is probably, I think he's the oldest in the race. I'm not even sure. Maybe there's one or two other 13-year-olds in the race. So you never know how much ability these horses retain when they get to that age.
But two of the last 6 winners were 13, so that's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. There was no horse under 10 has won this race, which I thought was strange.
Yeah,
that was a joke.
I know. I didn't fall for that one, but so we always did, clarify just in case someone starts abusing you on Twitter. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, was that Sir Ivan? Sir Ivan was third in the race last year. I thought he ran a cracker off 140 in the race last year, and he was third.
I didn't think he was third. I thought he ran quite well.
I can't say. I can't say
he's third. Sure, that is.
He was to herd in the race last year. And I actually thought he ran quite well. At one stage there in the back, he was sneaking into it under Lorcan Murtagh, and I said to myself, this horse has got a massive chance. Now, he kind of weakened in the final half of furlong, and he was beaten 13 lengths by Prime Venture. But I thought he was kind of value for being beaten maybe 6 or 7. He just got tired close home. Since then, it looks as if he's only had one aim and one aim only this season, and this is this race. I thought he ran a lovely race at Fontwell behind Foxborough. Too short of a trip, 2.5 that day. Prior to that, he was third to Dingo Dollar at Aintree. Another lovely run. So he's had two lovely runs where he finished third. And he's just come down to handicap, 1.32, 1.31. Now he's off 1.29. Lorcan Murtagh ticks off. It would have to be £3. And yeah, I think he's well handicapped. He's getting on a bit, but he's ran well in this race before. I think he's plenty of positives to his name surviving. 20-1 is too big of a price.
Nice one, DJ. Very, very good case. So in the big, the veterans race, we've got Kustar Sivlar for Robbie, and we've got Sir Ivan for David Jennings. Finally, it's the 3:35. It's the Unibet new and improved Bet Builder handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got 11 runners, and J-Lo is 7-2 favourite. Lightly Squeeze, 4-1. ICO, 5. In the Air, 13-2. Dr. TJ Eckelberg is 9-1. So's Hardy DeSoy, and it's 14 bar. And David Jennings is going to have the first crack at this tricky test.
Is that actually how you pronounce it, J-Lo? Because we were, me and Johnny did up in the ante on Tuesday. We were going with the Jello, the G-Lo, is it actually?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I thought I'd put a silent D on it. And I thought J-Lo was all right.
I'd say you're right. Yeah, I'd say you're right. That's a good show. Look, with J-Lo or the Jello, when he won at Exeter, it was embarrassingly easy. The second horse, Hawthor Dudares, I put up as the best handicapped horse in training at the start of the season for Dan Skelton and JP Manus. And he absolutely made bits of him off mark of 114. Now, he turned out 10 days later at Haydock and was sent off 1-3, and he was beaten in a four-runner race. Was it just too soon, or was the extra run just a complete kind of fluke? I don't know. This horse got absolutely bowled up. I have no idea what he's going to do. And I hate fancying another horse in a race when you have no idea what another horse is going to do in the race. J-Lo could be 150 horse run off 129. I have no idea. He looked a world beater when he won at Exeter. Anyway, the horse I like is Lightly Squeeze, who, for me, looked back to be every bit as good as he was a couple of years ago for Harry Fry. And Ben Bromley rode him at Kempton. He absolutely bolted off a mark of 130 in late November. I thought he would definitely get double figures from the handicapper. He only got £6, which I found extraordinary, because he literally couldn't have won any easier. He was third to Not So Sleepy in the Betfair Exchange Trophy at Ascot back in 2020. A cracking run. Like, Belfast Banter was behind him in fifth, who went on to win the County Hurdle. Buzz was second, who won the Cesar, which he was third in that off mark of 137. Sean Bowen rode him with no claim. So he's £1 lower now. To me, he looked back to his best at Kempton. I think he's going to take the world of beating Lightly Squeeze, unless J-Lo, DeJello, or whatever we call him, is the beast that he looked at Exeter.
Would you, in those circumstances, ever consider, DJ, backing Lightly Squeeze and maybe just having a little straight forecast on the Fav to beat you, just in case?
No, I just take a chance that I just pretend DeJello or J-Lo isn't in the race. That's what I do.
All right, then. How are you going to approach this, Robbie?
Yeah, DJ's nominated the two I don't really like, to be honest. I wonder if Lightly Squeeze might bounce a little bit after that's his first run in a long time. He's obviously getting on a little bit. For Jello, was really disappointing at Haydock last time and beating 1-3 as well. Not sure if he's a 150 horse, but I don't know. DJ gets these things right sometimes. I thought Issio was one I was looking at first of all, because, I mean, when he won at Kempton on his debut with Paul Nicholls, we were talking about a triumph hurdle for him. He was quoted about 16-1 for that after, but the wheels sort of came off at Cheltenham. He sent off 15-8 to beat Pied Piper. He was just too keen that day. And then he ran slightly better when fourth in the Grade 2 Dovecote behind Orkham Risk. But I don't know, he's a very free goer. And Paul Nicholls in Stable Tour said they were going to go chase him with Mova further. So I think he might be found out. I think he's well handicapped on 1-3-1 though. But the selection is Hardy DeSoy at around 9-1. He's French bred. He has loads of form on very testing ground in France. But for some reason, he's been mainly kept onto good ground for Jamie Snowden. But The last time he ran on soft for Snowden, he finished second to Manila Drama in a grade two at Haydock in a novice chase. He's on an £11 lower hurdles mark. I just thought that was quite interesting. I thought he'd be a little bit short, to be honest. Hardly the soil.
Okay, thank you very much, gents. That was Sandown. Next up, we're going to look at Wincanton.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big-name tipping, and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Three ITV races on Saturday support the five at Sandown, and the first of them is the 1:30. It's the Virgin Bet Handicap Chase over 2.5 miles. Just the six runners. The going at the moment is good to soft. There may well be rain that could change to soft or even heavy. Celebre Dalen is 11-4 favourite. Elixir de Nutz is 9-2. Messier des Oboes is 9-2. Thank goodness I concentrated in my French classes. And then we've got Kiltili Briggs at 5, Magic Saints at 6, and Galahad Quest at 7. Robbie Wilders, who wins this?
Yeah, I love this one. Messier des Oboes for me. I know he's 11 years old now, but he's always been really, really talented. I mean, he's 2 from 2 over the course and distance. The last time he ran here at Wincanton, he beat none other than Protectorat, who's obviously gone on to do great things since. He's off 140. 2 from 2 over the course and distance. I mean, he's won first time out a couple of times off big absences. And considering he's 11, I imagine Alan King's got him ready for this. So, yeah, I think he's the one. But it is a pretty decent race, but Messier des Oboes for me.
Thank you, Robbie. David?
I think Celebre Dalen is an absolute good thing. He's my strongest fancy today. I don't think he stayed at Warwick last time. He ran against Ramses Tatele in that veterans handicap chase. It's funny, he's down as being a veteran, but he's had very little racing in the last couple of years. Since 2019, he's only actually ran 5 times. He won his first 3 starts. He was actually trained by Louisa Carberry. He won his first 3 starts for Hobbs, 2 hurdle races and a chase at Warwick, beat Witching and Hoping at Warwick. And he was a very strong fancy for the plate at the Cheltenham Festival last year. He got a strange ride from Tom O'Brien that day. They kind of got away from him and he flew home to finish 5th off mark 141. Now, I thought there was plenty of positives to take. I know he was a beaten favourite, but I thought there was plenty of positives to take from his return to action at Warwick. I don't think he stayed. He's not a 3-miler. I think he's a 2.5-miler. I think with that run under his belt, I would forget. I wouldn't look at his age. I wouldn't look and say, oh God, he's 11. He's getting on a bit. He doesn't have any miles on the clock. I'm surprised to see him as big as 11-4. I made him a kind of a 5-4, 11-8 shot. I'd be bitterly disappointed if he's not good enough to beat these off mark 138.
Interesting. 2:05 Wincanton, the Virgin Bet Fives handicap chase over 2 miles, 7 runners. Desk Delisle is 15-8 favourite, and then it's Intern de Civola 7-2, not available. 5-1, another Crick 11-2, Midnight Midge and 20-1 the other two. David Jennings, what do you make of this one?
I had a very strong fancy in the previous race. I don't have a strong fancy here. I thought Desk Delisle was the right favourite. Did jump to his left at Ludlow last time, but he had won at Ludlow prior to that as well. He was very impressive at Ludlow 2 starts ago, just about beat Bundoran last time, but he kind of idled on the running. He was well clear kind of halfway up the running, and then Bundoran flew home to get within a short head of him or something. But I'd say he's still a few pounds ahead of the handicapper. He's only up to a mark of 119 now. Looks a good piece of placing by Venetia Williams. Shane Quinlan takes off £3. Yeah, probably the right favourite, Bruce, but we'll be having a bet.
Desque Delisle for David Jennings. Robbie Wilder's selection is?
Yeah, another Crick, I think. Quite a tricky little race, but I mean, he won this off £3 higher last year, and he normally takes a sort of run or two to get going. There's a little bit more life in his Lingfield 3rd in December after a sort of underwhelming performance at Kempton in November. I mean, he's 10 now, but it just looks like this has been the long-term plan, and he obviously likes the course and distance, so he's the pick for me.
Okay, thank you. And last, and quite probably least, as well as for the 8 ITV races goes, is the 3:15 at Wincanton, the Virgin Bet Handicap Hurdle, 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs, and just the four runners. Chianti Classico is favourite at 8-13 for Kim Bailey and David Bass, and then it's 15-4 Sir Psycho, 11-2 Stoner's Choice, and 18-1 Longshanks. Can't say I'm looking at this race with a great deal of excitement. Can you get me more stimulated about it, Robbie?
I don't know, I would have done. I was all set to make a case for Chianti Classico being a very good bet at odds against. But in the last sort of hour or so, I think Jubilee Express has come out. So he's gone odds on, quite heavily odds on now. Yeah, I think he's a good thing here. I mean, in his novice hurdle, main hurdle debut, sorry, beat Henry II fairly well. Henry II went on to win in grade two pretty comfortably at Sandown. Chianti Classico has won again since, easily under a penalty in Mark Ray's novice. It's interesting they're going the handicap route. I thought they might eventually look at sort of graded races of this horse, but he's off 131. He should be too good for that. And it wouldn't really surprise me if he was contesting sort of grade ones later in the season.
Nice one. Thank you, Robbie. David Jennings, do you have a strong view on the 3:15 at Wincanton?
Yeah, now that Jubilee Express is out, as 8-13 shots go, this is a very good 8-13 shot. This will go off 1-3. Like last time at Market Raisin, he beat Park Hill Dancer, who I'd say is a very, very good horse for Nicky Henderson. The third horse for him that day was a horse called Old Painless, who's trained by Harry Whittington. Old Painless, since that run at Market Raisin, has gone novice chasing. He bolted up at Plumpton by 14 lengths, and he was just touched off at Kelso, where he probably would have won if he didn't make a mistake at the last. He's up to a mark of 121 over fences. Like, Chianti Classico made absolute bits of him. I think he was beating 16 lengths or so that day. So that suggests to me that he's still very well handicapped Chianti Classico off a mark of 131. I wouldn't say that 8-13 is going to last very long. I think he could go off extremely short.
Excellent. Thank you, gents. That's the TV action done and dusted, but there is loads more weekend racing to look at, which we'll do in just a sec.
Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcast from the Racing Post, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club, Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders. We've done the 8 ITV races on Saturday. Now let's see what else the boys fancy. We've got the undercards at Sandown and Wincanton, obviously. There's Newcastle Jumps. Lingfielder on the flat, as are Kempton in the evening, and over in Ireland, they're racing at Cork. So you've already given your nap away, DJ, so we don't have to worry about that. But tell us what else you fancy on Saturday.
Yeah, I have two at Newcastle and two at Cork for you, Bruce. In the 12:48 at Newcastle, Tommy's Oscar is likely to be favoured here, but I'm definitely taking him on with Since Day One from Donald McCain's stable, Brian Hughes rides. I think Since Day One, he's getting the guts of a stone and a half from Tommy's Oscar. He's a nice chaser, I thought, made a nice start at Ayr, and then he was beaten last time at odds on at Newcastle. But he made a mistake at the second last there and the last. I think if he had jumped either the second last or the last well, he would have won quite convincingly. Gets in here off mark of 136. I think he's well handicapped. I think he'll beat the favourite. So Since Day One, whose cheek piece is on for the first time to win the 12:48. In the 1:23, O'Toole runs here for Stuart Crawford, who's having a terrific season, and Daryl Jacob in the double green, the 1:23. I'd say this is the reason Daryl Jacob is at this meeting. This is a good horse. This is a horse that Stuart Crawford thinks the world of. He's second to Kill Crush in the Grade 1 bumper. Won his bumper prior to that affair. He has by 15 lengths. Did a point-to-point journey with me and then disappointed in novice handicap hurdle at Down Royal. But he's a proper stayer that's going to relish fences. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was plenty of support for O'Toole in the 1:23 at Newcastle. As I said, I'm pretty convinced he's a good horse.
Is he named after Mick O'Toole?
I'd say so, yeah. I'd say he probably is.
Did you ever meet Mick O'Toole?
Yeah, great guy.
Oh,
what a legend.
Tell you what, I had an evening with him once in a pub near the Curragh after racing, and it was one of the most entertaining evenings I've ever had. The stories and the laughter, it was absolutely epic. I've been lucky enough to meet so many amazing people in racing down the years, but Mick O'Toole is absolutely right up there with the greats. What a man. Brilliant. Ah,
great guy, an absolutely great guy. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Fully echo those sentiments, Bruce. And just two at Naseby in the 102 Invictus match.
Cork.
Cork, yeah, what did I say?
You said Nace, but that's all right.
Sorry, Nace on Sunday. Yeah, in Cork in the 102 Invictus Mashin. I thought ran a little bit better than his than what it says on his form book. He was 4-4 behind Ipswich United. He made a terrible mistake at the second last that day. I'd say he's probably a nice horse, and it's an interesting piece of placing here. I think Invictus Mashin is a better horse than Caldwell Diamond. I think he'll win the 102. And just one other one for you. I'm going to keep the faith. A horse I tipped on that's December 26th in the paper. Hal Safari runs in the 322. 2.5 miles. Cork. Keen Quirk takes off £7. This horse is going to, one of these days, just get away from the field and win by a wide margin. I hope he's ridden aggressively by Keen Quirk. And I think Hal Safari can defy a mark of 115. In the 322 of Cork.
Lovely. Thank you, DJ. Did you like the subtle way that I just put you straight on which course it was? Cork! God's sake, man.
Yeah, get a grip, I know, yeah.
That wasn't very nice of me. The man who's vowed to be nicer this year, Robbie Wilders. What have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, I had a feeling DJ might like O'Toole as well. O'Toole was one of the ones I was putting up as well. Yeah, I mean, you go back to his bumper form, he split, killed Crut. And Sir Gerard at the Punchtown Festival. That was only his second run in his life. It didn't really go to plan over hurdles. I mean, he sent off 7-2 to beat Journey with me, but he sort of flopped that day. I'm expecting more from him over fences. Obviously, Crawford rates him quite highly. He's off 130. And he's opened up at 9-2, which looks pretty big. The other one I had was 137 at Cork. Hans Gruber, named after character in Die Hard, played by Alan Rickman. He's stepping up to 3 miles for the first time, but only 3 starts back. He's finished 6 lengths second to 3 Strike Life over 2. That was a bit too sharp. But I could see him going off a slightly bigger price than he ought to because his trainer is yet to saddle a winner under rules, but he's only had 4 runners. Keith Donoghue's up. He won a point to point 20 days ago, so he's going to be fit. And I could see him upsetting some of the bigger guns for the bigger yards, Hans Gruber.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Gents, let's turn our attention now to Sunday's racing. And the centrepiece is very much the 220 at Nace. It's the Grade 1 Lawlers of Nace Novices Hurdle. We've got 9 runners. And we've also got a show of betting. Willie Mullins has the favourites. Surprise, surprise. Grange Clare West, who's currently 11-8. And then it's 5-1 Irish Point. 13-2 Inno the Way You're Thinking. 7-1 Champ Kylie, 10 Dawn Rising, 16 Bar. Good race this, DJ. Who'd you fancy?
Yeah, I'd imagine it's I Know the Way You're Thinking.
Oh, God. Do you know what? I looked at that before and I was thinking, what's that? Why have they said that? Yeah, because they'd have run out of letters to spell it properly. Yeah. I fell for that. That was pathetic, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
we let you away with it, Bruce.
I'm devastated by that.
It's one of these races where I kind of want to get Grange Clare West beaten, and you could easily make a case for Grange Clare West being a ridiculous price here, given there's so many unexposed types, there's so many different lines of form, like Irish Point second in a Grade 1, just pipped right on the line by Marine National, who's second favourite for the Supreme. That's really strong form. I Know the Way You're Thinking is 2 from 2, looks strong form. Dawn Rising won the race at American Mike. Was beaten in at Navan. Afridale Fury was still in front when falling at the last. Champ Kylie was a hot favourite for the Royal Bond. So you can make cases for them all. But Willie is such a line on these novice hurdlers that you kind of say to yourself, he obviously thinks this is the right horse for this race. Gaelic Warrior was entered and was second favourite, who was second in the Boodles last season. He won by whatever, 86 lengths at Tramore. He's picked Grange Clare West for this race. He was very impressive at Navan. I think it's a watch and brief, Bruce. I think Grange Clare West is the most likely winner, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was beaten. But I just don't know what is going to beat him. So I'm really no help to you here whatsoever.
No, no, that's very good insight. You don't always have to have a bet, DJ. Last 7 favs have won this. Will Grange Clare West make it 8 out of 8, do you think, Robbie?
Yeah, I looked at this earlier in the week. I was hoping Gaelic Warrior would run. He was the second favourite behind Grange Clare West, but he's obviously not running. I suppose that is a show of confidence in Grange Clare West, but I don't know. It's a hard one to assess, like DJ says. I will not rush him to back him, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did win this quite easily.
Okay.
So it's just one I'm going to watch with intrigue, to be honest. But
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The boys are both going to sit that one out. Unusual, but there's nothing whatsoever wrong with that. You don't have to have a belt on every race, of course. Right then, anything to add before we get the naps? Robbie?
No, just a nap for me, Bruce.
Okay, and what about you, DJ?
Just the horse that's going to beat John Bond is running the 120 at Nace, I suppose.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, well, sure, as everybody knows, it's appreciated, runs in the 120 at Nace. Look, I think he's going to make a smashing chaser. I've said all along, I think John Bond is completely the wrong price all year for the, or all season for the
Is Arkle. It your Cheltenham lay, John Bond for the Arkle, yeah?
I just can't understand the difference in price between John Bond and Appreciated. I think Appreciated is really, really good. And I'm hoping he'll win this impressively. He'll be ridiculously short price, but he should win it impressively, and they should get shorter to get or closer together in the market. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Appreciated in the 120.
John Bond currently 6-4 for the Sporting Life Arkle, and Appreciated, you can get 13-2 on him. Right then, let's get the naps. And we'll start with David Jennings. Don't really need a drum roll because you've already told us who it is, but go on, repeat it.
Yeah, sorry about that. I never know what
That's
to do.
Right. It's
I
fine.
Never know what to do in that situation, whether you kind of tell people when you're previewing the race that this is your strongest fancy today. But I can't believe Celebre Dalen is 11-4 to win the 130 at Wincanton, and I think he should be much shorter, and I think he'll win.
Nice one, David Jennings. Robbie Wilders, who's your one bet for the weekend?
The one bet is Nemi and Lion in the Tolworth, 225 at Sandown. I think he's the standout price of the weekend of all the horses.
Really, Robbie, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that all right, DJ? Is he okay
No. It's funny, I went through the Tolworth with a fine tooth comb, and I have serious respect for Robbie, but Nemi and Lion was kind of one of the first I crossed off, so I'm going to have another look now.
Okay, fair enough. Righty-ho, gents. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for your input. Most of all, though, thank you for listening. It's great to have you along on the podcast. Sam Hart is back in the chair next week, looking ahead to more great TV action, this time from Kempton and Warwick. In the meantime, loads more great videos. Check out the Racing Post YouTube channel. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday for another podcast.